News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary as we explore the northeastern part of India. It gets intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me tell you about the excitement in today's episode. Today, we bring an exclusive interview with Shri Utpal Borpujari, renowned film critic and filmmaker from the state of Assam. We will also bring a report from Nagaland, where the government recently launched RAMP scheme. This initiative aims to boost the economy, driving entrepreneurship. But for now, let's go to Arunachal Pradesh, where the Adi tribe is celebrating their most cherished Solong festival with great fervor and joy. Arunachal Pradesh is a vibrant tapestry of cultural diversity with 26 major tribes and over 100 sub-tribes, each with unique dialects and traditions. Among these, the Adi tribe stands out with their rich heritage and colorful celebrations. As we enter September, the Adi people are gearing up for the Solong festival, a grand event that not only signifies the end of the sowing season, but also serves as a heartfelt prayer for a fruitful harvest. Our Itanagar correspondent Rakesh Dole brings you a detailed report on this joyous occasion.
Solong is one of the main festivals of the Adi tribe of Arunachal Pradesh. The word Solong has been derived from two words, that is Aso, which means Mithun, and Alung, which means herds of Mithun. It is celebrated in the first week of September every year and is the most important festival of the Adi tribe. The Solong festival spans 5 days and is divided into three main phases, that is Sopi Yakpi, Binyat and Akop. The festivities commenced with Sopi Yakpi, also known as Ardobado. On the inaugural day, the community performs traditional sacrifices, offering pigs and mithuns to Dadi Bote, the god of domestic animals, to seek his blessings for the year ahead. The second phase, Binyat, is dedicated to worshipping Kine Nane, the goddess of food and crops. During this part of the festival, the Adi people express their gratitude and hope for bountiful yields from their fields. The final phase, Akop, is captivating cultural highlights where the lead singer or the Miri narrates the epic tale of Abotani and Nibo, the revered forefather of the Adi tribes. The storytelling not only connects the community with their roots, but also reinforces their cultural heritage. But there's more to Solong than its rituals. According to Adi mythology, the festival has its origin in a divine encounter. A god of heaven, Doing Bote, became involved with Kine Nane, and through a series of dramatic events involving mythical creatures, paddy seeds were sent to humanity to alleviate their hunger. Since then, the Solong festival has symbolized the reunion of these divine entities to ensure crop fertility and prosperity for the tribe. In essence, the Solong festival is not just a celebration, but it's a deep-rooted tradition aiming to honor divine beings and ensure the abundance of their harvest. For the Adi tribe, it's a time of joy, cultural pride, and a collective hope for a thriving future. For Northeast Diary, this is Rakesh Dole, Akashvani News, Itanagar.
Nagaland government has recently launched a World Bank-supported central sector scheme for Government of India. The scheme, known as Raising and Accelerating MSME Performance or RAMP, is set to play a pivotal role in enhancing the resilience and recovery of local micro, small and medium enterprises. This ambitious program aims to invigorate the business landscape for fostering entrepreneurship and economic growth. For further insights, our Kohima correspondent, Asunu, brings a detailed report.
Chief Minister of Nagaland Ipirio officially launched a Raising and Accelerating MSME Performance, RAMP, in the presence of all the legislators of 14th Nagaland Legislative Assembly at NLA Secretariat, Kohima, on 27th August this year. The key intervention of RAMP is to enhance MSME firm capabilities, promote Made in Nagaland products, enhancing access to finance and market, and institutional strengthening, among others.
Our government remains dedicated in the holistic development of Nagaland. With an oppositionless government, we have the opportunity to unite and work collaboratively, fostering a supportive environment and prioritizing the well-being of our people. I'm sure that the RAMP program will inspire both our public sector and entrepreneurs to take bold steps toward advancing progress and prosperity of our state. So as we gather here, together, let's build a brighter future for Nagaland.
Secretary of Industries and Commerce, Government of Nagaland, Shanawas C, highlighted more on the RAMP.
We have a lot of micro enterprises which are just captured who really don't know how to go at all. So we have a soft skills intervention in the form of RAMP just to behave and to go and venture out. We aim to improve access to market and credit for MSMEs. We aim to strengthen the institutions, governance at the central and state levels, improve partnership between the central and state in addressing MSME issues.
Under the RAMP, Nagaland government is expected to enhance a capacity of 18,000 MSMEs in the state. It also aims to promote the Make in Nagaland products, substituting domestic imports. In addition, it will also facilitate credit linkage and interest subvention support received up to 3%. For Northeast Diary, this is Asunyo from Akashvani News, Kohima.
I want to ride my
Now let's talk about Snehankar Chakravarti and his team, who are cycling from Guwahati, Assam, to Sohra in Meghalaya to highlight the struggles of journalists and the impacts of climate change. Their initiative, Let's Pedal, aims to raise awareness and inspire action. A report.
Today we bring you a remarkable story of courage and advocacy from Assam. Freelance journalist Snehankar Chakravarti, along with his friends Shantanu Moran and Rambabu Thakur, has embarked on a mission to spotlight the challenges faced by journalists across the country. Recently, the trio set out on an ambitious cycling expedition from Guwahati to Sohra. The journey representing the initiative Let's Pedal aims not only to draw attention to the precarious job and social security conditions of journalists, but also to raise awareness about climate change. Snehankar Chakravarti, hailing from Vishwanath Charali, started this mission in 2019 as a lone cyclist. To date, he has pedaled through four northeastern states, Assam, Meghalaya, Sikkim and Arunachal Pradesh, covering over 1,000 kilometers in Assam alone. His journey doesn't stop here. He plans to traverse four more states in the region. In his own words, Chakravarti shared, "When I bought my new cycle, I realized that my passion for cycling would serve a greater purpose. I decided to embark on this mission to support my fellow journalists."
Cycling without any cause is not going to serve anything. So I decided, as I've worked in media, and I know what sort of problems we journalists normally face.
Chakravarti's initiative underscores the pressing need for better pay and job security in the journalism field. He observed, "As journalists, we often highlight the issues faced by others, yet when it comes to addressing the problems within our own community, our voices seem to be overlooked. He believes that collective action can bring about change. A single voice may not be enough, but if journalists unite, we can make a significant impact, Chakraborty added.
Journalists raise voice for people, but no one raises voice for us. If something happens to a journalist, who is going to report it? So my thing is to make aware the journalists.
His mission also seeks to inspire other journalists to advocate for their rights, emphasizing that silence will not lead to progress. Despite the tough realities of the profession, such as irregular hours and job insecurity, Chakraborty remains committed to his cause. He recalled a personal struggle when he was dismissed from his job in 2017 while his mother was battling cancer. This experience led him to seek legal redress and ignited his drive to support the journalist community.
Supreme Court has provided many guidelines which says in our office a sub-editor's duty is for 6 hours only. But we never complain our employers. So there is no job security. No. So we should know about our rights.
Chakraborty continues to receive support from fellow journalists and the public. He mentions, during our journey, people have shown great curiosity and have engaged in conversations about the need for job security for journalists. As he continues his mission, Chakraborty is buoyed by the encouragement of his mother, who remains a source of strength and inspiration. This journey is a poignant reminder of the challenges journalists face and the vital need for a secure and supportive working environment. We hope that Snehankar Chakraborty's efforts shed light on these issues and foster greater understanding and support for the journalism profession. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Langkrang Nong Spang for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Shillong.
It's often said that good ideas start with brainstorming, but truly great ideas begin with a cup of coffee. In a charming cafe in Agartala, a group of local artists brewed up a remarkable initiative to aid those affected by the recent devastating floods. As many of you know, Tripura faced its worst flooding in 3 decades last month, leaving communities in desperate need of support. In the face of such adversity, these artists are channeling their creativity into a powerful response to the crisis. Let's turn to our Agartala correspondent, Kunal Shinde, for the full story on this inspiring effort.
From the persons at the high echelons of power to common man, generous hands have come forward to provide assistance to tens of thousands of flood victim families in the state. Be it in cash or kind, people from various quarters of the society have depicted magnanimity in some or the other form towards the flood-affected individuals. Similarly, a group of artists from the Lalit Kala Academy Agartala, Tripura University, and those pursuing PhD at the varsity conceptualized an idea to organize the exhibition on paintings drawn by them. The interesting aspect of this exhibition is that the artists have chosen an unconventional way of exhibiting their creative work by not selecting a town hall, an art gallery, or a museum to organize the exhibition, but a cafe shop located stone throw away from the Tripura University. The cafe is a place to hang out not only for the students, but even some faculty members after the dusk. The owner of the cafe, Pranab Chakraborty, who himself is an artist, took the lead to provide his cafe space to display creative works of his students and 3 scholar artists. One of them is a 60-year-old from Santir Bazar in South Tripura district, who too have displayed their paintings. This is what one of the artists who has put his painting on display had to say.
उसको लेके कैसे एक आदमी को द्रवित होना चाहिए, उसके मन में एक भाव उत्पन्न होना चाहिए, सेवा भाव. करुणा भाव तो उस चीज को ये लोग फलित किया है. ये जो आर्टिस्ट ग्रुप है और ये जो स्टूडियो है, स्टूडियो छाया, तो ये सब लोग मिलके जो एग्जीबिशन किए, ये जो एग्जीबिशन इसलिए है कि यहाँ जो वर्क बिकेंगे वो बाढ़ पीड़ितों के सेवा के लिए जाएंगे वो फंड, और बाकी हम लोग कलेक्ट करके अलग अलग जगह से सबों की मदद लेके और जितना हो पाया एक आर्टिस्ट के तौर पर, जितना सबको हम लोगों को टाइम मिला, बाढ़ पीड़ितों के बीच गए और उनका हालचाल लिया, उन तक जितना हो सका हम लोग एक सेवा पहुंचाए अपना. और ऐसा एग्जीबिशन सिर्फ त्रिपुरा में नहीं,
Initially, when the floods hit Agartala, Mr. Chakravarti, along with some of his friends, took initiative to provide immediate help by distributing some food packets to the flood-affected people. Later, they also distributed packets of food at Udaipur and Kakraban localities in Gomati district, which was severely inundated. However, facing shortage of fund, the group also appealed for crowdfunding. Now, by organizing the exhibition on paintings, the exhibitors' objective is to ensure that maximum of their artwork is sold. In order to see that more and more paintings are sold, the artists have kept affordable pricing tags so that the potential buyer is tempted to purchase the painting. Such innovative ideas of the artists to provide relief to flood victims can well be emulated in other parts of the state and country to help the distressed citizens affected due to natural calamities. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashvani Agartala.
Our personality of the week is Shri Utpal Bhorpujari, a renowned film critic and filmmaker from the state of Assam. He's been interviewed by Vinita Thakur.
Hi friends, today we are here in the studio and we have a guest who is a film critic, a filmmaker and above all a national awardee for his very first film, that is his debut film. And his name, well, it's Shri Utpal Bhorpujari. Welcome sir, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
So, like I said that you have been written in journalism also. So, what do you say? Is it still on or?
No, I left journalism in 2010, active journalism, though I used to write off and on as a freelance journalist.
Okay.
But now I have stopped that also because I wanted to be full-time into filmmaking.
Okay.
So, but you know, you once a journalist, always a journalist. So,
right.
There was a withdrawal symptom kind of thing for a few years. So, I continued writing. Even now, I write one if people request me to write a piece on something. But
you
that is,
that.
I do that, but I don't write it as a, my bread and butter thing and all. So, now I'm a full-time filmmaker, you can say.
You have had a remarkable journey till date. And as filmmaking is concerned, it's a very fascinating world, this world of the celluloid. So can you share a bit of your journey in a nutshell? Because listeners do want to know as to how you went about it.
I come from Guwahati. I born and brought up there. I had my schooling and college
in Guwahati
up to graduation level. I did my graduation from Cotton College. And then I did my master degree, M.Tech in Applied Geology from IIT Roorkee. At that time it was University of Roorkee.
Okay.
It became IIT Roorkee later on. And after that I decided to become a journalist because I had been writing even from my school days in local newspapers and magazines and all on various topics, but mostly on cinema, culture and all.
So do you still write the scripts of your movies or you hire somebody?
Yeah, till now whatever I have done, I have written all the scripts myself. For both documentaries and fiction both. But of course I'm exploring other scripts also, people written by others. So
okay.
I mean depends on what idea is that excites me. But generally if a story catches my attention, I would like to, you know, write it myself.
That's the best thing because when you write, you really know what you expect from your artists also.
Exactly.
And just now you said that you did your studies in IIT Roorkee. You are a certified geologist. So after coming from such a line, and the switchover of entertainment to this entertainment world, that has been really drastic. And youngsters these days, even I have seen, there are so many movies also, where this has been highlighted. But what do you say, the youngsters these days, if there are times when I've seen people, you know, studying medicine and then opting for something very different, maybe modeling or something.
Right, yeah.
So what would you say and how would you suggest?
I think times have really changed. Now the youngsters know what they want to do from a very early age.
Correct.
In our time, what used to happen that we didn't have proper guidance. So we used to go with the flow mostly. So we used to like, okay, most of our contemporaries would study engineering or medical and those are the lines to go. If somebody is pursuing, you know, art stream, they would go for English literature or political science, you know.
Teaching.
Yeah. So it was very predictable, limited kind of this thing. So we used to kind of actually explore our things and through, while pursuing the normal course of studies, we kind of got exposed at much later age that these are exciting areas which we can explore. So that's how I, after my studies, I came to journalism and then after nearly two decades in journalism, I came to filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think now the youngsters from an very early age, because of their exposure to all the things through internet and all, they're very sure about what they want to do in life mostly. Mm-hmm. And so that confusion we had in our times, it's much lesser now.
Yeah.
Of course, even now people study something else, sometimes they go into another field.
Yeah,
That will keep
earlier
happening.
Earlier, it was very much there in West.
Yeah.
But now it has come to our country also.
Right.
And I feel that they don't waste time. Like the moment they realize that this is not their forte, it's not of their interest, they immediately change it.
Yes,
unlike
yes.
us, where we keep on exploring and
exactly.
thinking that we may develop some kind of an interest.
Right.
Yeah. And one important thing that comes to my mind is that like you are from Northeast, and nobody can deny the beauty of Northeast is something that registers in your mind if you go and visit Northeast even once. So, you being a filmmaker, have you ever thought of promoting tourism by your work? Because wherever you go, the scenic beauty is amazing. And have you filmed your whatever work you have done there only? Or you go
yeah,
out?
Yeah, all my work till now
has been there.
And I think through the visual journey that I try to explore in my films,
mm-hmm.
those whoever have watched them, they get a peek into the places, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
it's Manipur, Nagaland,
mm-hmm.
or Assam, or wherever, or Meghalaya.
Picture of it's beautiful. Yeah.
So I think that, indirectly, anyway, I am trying to do that.
Oh, you're doing that,
And but at the same time, I think the governments of the states they also have a role to play,
mm-hmm.
and they are trying to promote. Like Arunachal has had shootings of big budget Bollywood films in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
Meghalaya has had quite a few film shootings. Even now, some of the big web series, most popular web series, they are set in Northeast now. I mean, which will be coming mm-hmm. soon in the next, I think. Within this year or next year.
That would be
And also, I think, as a location, Northeast has a lot more to offer. But mm-hmm. one thing is that we also need infrastructure for shooting, you know. Because if the location is very beautiful, that's one thing. But you need to also have the facility to accommodate 200 people,
yeah.
you know, film
mm-hmm.
crew. So those infrastructural development is required so that filmmakers from other parts of the country or even other parts of the world come there and shoot.
And they should feel comfortable and they should have all the amenities that is required.
Exactly.
Yeah. And since music is one thing that is everywhere in Northeast.
Right.
And you also, it seems, is inclined towards music. So as a mentor, you have some works related to music also to promote the youngsters. What is all that?
Basically, I'm not a musician, I'm a music lover.
Okay.
So, and like you very correctly said that music is like...
In the air out there.
So, me and a couple of friends of mine, one is Adil Hussain, the actor, and who needs no introduction basically,
mm-hmm.
and Kaushik Nath, who is a childhood friend of both of us.
And great singers are there.
Yeah, so we kind of discussed a few years ago that if we can create a platform to, you know, provide guidance to young, you know, musicians about what they should do, how they want to go about their career. And that's how this idea called Mongit started. Mongit is like we call it soul songs. So it's an annual workshop, a residential mentorship workshop, which is organized in Majuli, the River Island. And it's a three-day workshop where entries are called and some are selected, some around 25-30 young people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had four editions till now, including one which was virtual because of the pandemic year.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, the very senior music industry people, music production producers, musicians, lyricists, they come there, and some of the biggest names from Assam mostly, but we also have some guest mentors who come, and all come voluntarily without taking any fees. That is a great thing about the whole workshop. Like this year we had Parvati Baul, the internationally famous Baul singer. She came. And so basic idea is to give the youngsters an idea about how they can pursue their music and how they can actually pursue what they want to do without falling prey to the likes and, you know, of social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, creating a music video and just putting it up on YouTube or any other platform. And, and then that's it. So you actually don't explore your full potential.
Mm-hmm. Especially in workshops, you get to explore a lot.
Yeah. So what has happened that within these few years, some of the workshop participants have actually done very well. They have gone to perform in big music shows in outside Assam. Some of them have focused on what they want to do. Like there is a young singer called Jyotimala Buragohai. So she is trying to promote Thai language music, which is where people were forgetting. Thai is the language of the Ahom community. So she has now, after the workshop, she has focused, she has created a band, and now she is working only on reviving the lost songs. So that's a very good thing to happen.
It's
a
very nice thing. Yeah. In fact, this is the least you can give to your homeland.
Yeah.
And lastly, but not the least, your films be shown in the 15th Habitat Film Festival. That is the mascot of Majuli. So please do highlight and do tell us what it is all about and how did you go about it.
Mascot of Majuli is produced by Indira Gandhi National Center for the Arts, which is under the Ministry of Culture. I'm really happy that they commissioned me to do the film. This film is on the mask-making art, which is, initiated by Srimanta Sankardev, the 15th century saint and social reformer. And that's a very traditional art, which is now practiced by very few people. I mean, it is practiced in a couple of other places in Assam also, but it's mainly in Majuli. Only two families practice it. So they are trying to, also teach other youngsters. And it's part of, the masks are used in a traditional performance called Bhavnas.
Mm-hmm.
Bhavnas and Ankiya Nats, which were, again, part of the Vaishnavite traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Started by Srimanta Sankardev, and that I tried to capture the whole story visually through this
documentary. Have you done it in a fictional way, or
it's a documentary where the protagonists are the members of the two families who practice in how they are doing it, how they are trying to revive it.
So a lot of research work must have gone.
Yes, it's a very research intensive documentary, and also visually it incorporates a lot of elements like how the masks are made, how they are used in bhavanas and all. So everything is there.
So that's great. And I really wish that you reach the pinnacle of glory the way you have been working.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and wish you all the very best for your future ventures.
Thank you.
You just heard an interview with Sri Utpal Bhorpujari, a renowned film critic and filmmaker from the state of Assam, in conversation with Vinita Thakur. And now listen to Nasri's song. With that, we have come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Bye-bye.
Was presented by Lucy G. Chattopadhyay, produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.